the word who will let you know that there is power just in the name of Jesus. Whatever you need, you can find it in the name of Jesus. I know that power in the name of Jesus. If you need a healing, you can call the name Jesus. I know that power in the name of Jesus. Whatever you're going through on today, you just call the name Jesus. I know that power in the name of Jesus. I tried the Lord, and I tried him one day, and when I called his name, that mighty name of Jesus, he healed the sick, and he raised the dead, and that name of Jesus, because there is if you need power, you can call on Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the name of power. Whatever you want, just call the name Jesus. I know that power, in the name of Jesus. One day I tried it. I said, Lord, save me. And you save me with the Holy Ghost power. In the name of Jesus. He healed my body when I was sick, y'all. And I know it was Jesus. And when I called. So whatever you need, just call the name Jesus. And I know that power. In the name of Jesus. God, there is the power. Yes, there's so much power. Oh, I believe you. In the name. Oh, power. Yes, there's so much power. Oh, I believe you. Power in his name.
And I believe there's power in his name.
Amen.
All you got to do is call it. You can't call it too many times without something happening. Hallelujah. No other name under heaven can do you like the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We give glory and honor and praise to God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you,
Jesus. Let's ball together one more time.
Hallelujah.
Tell somebody one more time.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just a joy just to come together one more time.
One more time.
Hallelujah. But this is another day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad that we're in the day. Because he could have left us yesterday.
Amen.
Or last week. But he kept us and brought us into today. Hallelujah. And let's live today for today and not for yesterday. Hallelujah. Don't worry about tomorrow because it'll take care of itself. We can only do one day at a time. So we glorify God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to all that's under the sound of my voice, to our presider, Dr. Lewis, and Elsie Bush, who shares the blessing with us, and all our other preachers in the house, if you wave your hand. Hallelujah. And all deacons and mothers and other officers of the church. Raise your hand. Praise God for the male courses doing a dynamic job. Praise God for our ushers. Okay, and then we praise God for every lay person in the house. And those are the lay people that are the ones that don't hold an elected office in the house. But you're in the house and you're part of the house. You're part of God's plan because it needs some lay people to preach the word to. Hallelujah. It needs some lay people to witness after the word has been preached. Hallelujah. So everybody's important and everybody's precious in the sight of God. Hallelujah. And as we continue to tell you, there's no such thing as a nobody. A nobody does not exist. Because if nobody, it means it was made. Hallelujah. If you're here, you are somebody. Hallelujah. And God didn't make a nobody. He made somebody's. Hallelujah. So anybody come calling you and calling you a nobody, don't answer. Because you're not that nobody, you somebody. They're not aggressing you. Something is wrong with them. Hallelujah. What time is it?
Good news
time. We come to bring you some more good news. Didn't come to bring you nothing new. Hallelujah. But just to remind you what thus says the Lord. We can't get it all in one day. Can't get it all in 10 years. Can't get it all in 50 years. Praise God. Because the word is ever growing. It's alive. Hallelujah. And it does what it needs to do. And been doing it throughout the world's existence. Hallelujah. From the book of Exodus, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Exodus, chapter 4, this is not the third book in the Bible. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand here, you are the spiritual man, mental man, physical man. We cast them all into your care that you may use us for your glory and your honor. Send forth your anointings now upon me and this congregation that will be in tune and able to destroy the yokes of the devil who's trying to block and hinder us, God, from doing your will in the name of Jesus. But we bound them right now in your name and release your Holy Spirit to have the right of way. In Jesus' name, amen. Are we there? Verse 1, Exodus 4. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice. For they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Hallelujah. Ask the person sitting near you, say, neighbor, what's in your hand? We, as God's people, have a whole lot in our hands, but because we don't see it physically, with the physical eye, we don't realize we have it. But you got to keep in your mind that you got a whole lot of power in your hand that will get you through the day, through the week, through the month, through the years. We got so much that we deny that we do have, all because we are living and trying to serve God from the wrong part. We are two people. We are a spiritual man and we are the physical man. We are supposed to be going by our spiritual man and not by our physical man. For as the Ephesians tells us, we are not fighting flesh and blood. Our war is not against flesh and blood, although that's what we see operating. But we got to realize it's not that individual that's doing the evil. It's the physical, the spiritual evil man that is doing this battle against us. That we are wrestling against power, rule of darkness in this world. We're wrestling against the devil himself. Okay. So, and since he is the devil, he come to destroy, to kill, to steal. And what is he doing? He's stealing what God has put in your hands. You got your spiritual man who is being renewed every day, and your physical man who's dying daily. But the moment you were born, you started dying. And you have a certain length of time to be here. And since we're being here, we got some things in between birth and death that we need to accomplish. And in order to accomplish that, we got to have the spiritual man, and we got to do it with the Word of God. The Word of God is spiritual. It is powerful. Okay, it's sharper than any of the two-edged sword. The Word of God is what we need. And we have it. But when we come up against the enemy, we don't use it. We use our mind, our thoughts, what we can do, what we can't do. But we got to realize the spiritual man in Christ can do all things. All right. Don't know what it is about everything's fine attack our folks. Amen. Lewis. And he doesn't want the word to come out. Yeah. We got power that we don't know we got. Hallelujah. But we are spiritual beings. Okay, and we are a strong being in the Lord. See, not in your might, but it got to be in the Lord's might. And we know the Lord is all powerful. That means that nothing at all on this earth and anywhere else is stronger than he, or more powerful than he is. He's all powerful. All power of heaven and earth was entrusted in him when he got up from the grave. He got up with all power in his hand. And so if anybody got in the power, they got to get it from him. And that power is only effective as that you believe in, what you can do. Amen. The word of God is your weapon that you fight with, not with your words. The word of God is power. Nothing is more powerful than the word of God. But then that word is no more powerful than your faith. You can know the word, but if you don't have the faith to believe the word, then the word is void and null, even though you can quote it from Genesis to Revelation. You got to know that you know what you're talking about and stand firm in what he said without compromising what the word has said. When I say compromise, don't water it down. Don't change it to fit what you think he ought to be. Don't second guess God. If God said do a certain thing, he mean do it. And he didn't tell you to decide who he's telling it to. Because everybody got to do the same thing. One way, one faith, one baptism. All right. So everybody got the name of one word. Okay, now it doesn't matter how many Bibles you pick up in your hand. If it doesn't translate back to what is God meant it to be, then it's no good to you. All right. Let me move on. But we got to know what's in our hand. Jethro, the priest, and he lived on the other side of the desert from Egypt. And Moses was his son-in-law that kept Jethro's sheep. All right. On the other side of the mountain. And he happened to be tending the flock and found that he looked over and saw a bush. And that bush was burning. Fire was coming from the bush, but it was also a strange thing. The more the fire burned, the bush got, it was not being consumed by the fire. That was a strange thing, because now Moses is one of How can this be? That a bush burned, but it's not burnt up. It's not changing at all. The leaves were green, they were still green.
Yeah.
They didn't wither up and fall off. The bush like we do when we set a bush on fire. And nothing left but twigs. The bush was still just like it was before the fire got in it.
Yeah.
And so Moses said, I'm going to turn aside and go see what this is. And when God noticed that Moses turned around, he called it. And Moses said, here am I, Lord. God's called us to a mission. And when he called us, he equipped us to do whatever is necessary to accomplish the mission. But we have said in our hearts and our minds, I haven't seen anything, therefore I didn't hear nothing, and there's nothing there. There's no change in us, but we know that the change has taken place, because faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes through the word of God. That means that you don't hear until you believe the word of God. You got to believe what it's saying. And so here we find ourselves looking but not seeing. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things found, not found. What is, when God said it, you received it, you believed it, you carry it out, just as God tells you to do so. So we go here. Moses hearing the word. So when you hear the word, you get saved. Okay. You look at yourself, you hear the song been sung down through the years, you don't hear it in the Nanga. I looked at my hands. My hands look new. I looked at my feet. They did too. Now, physically, your hands were still the same. All right? Physically, your feet were still the same. Physically, you were still the same, but no changes. But yet you believe that you are a new person, a new creation in Christ.
Yes.
You believe that you're now saved and on your way to heaven. You believe. That's receiving it without seeing it. Receiving it without feeling it. Receiving it because the word said, if I confess my sin, God was faithful. He was just, and he was right, dumb enough and faithful enough to give to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You believe that. And nobody could change your mind on that when you really believe it. Just as you believe that part of the word, you should believe all parts of the word. Whatever it says, you got to believe it is accomplished. And so Moses went to see this burning bush. We got to go and see God's word in action. We got to go to the highways and the hedges and tell him what the Lord told you to tell him. Make disciples. Teach them to believe everything he said. And he will stay with you to the ends of the earth. So Moses, now, and I got to hurry up here. Moses now go and see the burning bush. And God tells Moses, I've seen the affliction of my people in Egypt land. I've heard their cry. And I need somebody to go there and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I need somebody to bring them out of Egypt. And I'm going to put them in a land that flows with milk and honey. I'm going to put them in a land that is full of riches and power. God has brought us out of our poverty into riches. Now, you said, I'm still poor. I ain't got no money in the bank. And don't have, people say in the back in the day that two dimes that can rub together. I don't have that. And you're talking about I'm rich? Yeah, your daddy owns everything. Your daddy made everything. Yeah. Earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. You are rich, not physically, but spiritually. You're rich. See, we've been looking at this physical thing all the time. But we got to see that I'm rich, although my bank don't say so. But I'm rich because I ain't got to worry about getting anything. Because my God said he will supply my every need according to his riches in glory. And glory is rich. There's a rich tent that speaks of pure gold. There's a rich crystals and diamonds and jewels, covers that make up the doors. I'm so rich. I don't have to put my money in the bank. I can just walk on it. Nobody can steal my money. But Jesus said, pack up your things in heaven where thieves and robbers can't come and get it. Now, more rust and mold corrupted. Hallelujah. But this other thing that you're packing up for this physical life, you can't carry it with you. You can't do anything but let it lay up here. If you ain't spending, they ain't doing you no good. You just keep piling it up. And so you can say, I got. So Moses now said that I can't go before Pharaoh. I'm a man with a slow speech, stammering tongue. I can't speak plainly. And you want me to go before Pharaoh? We got to know that God knows who you are. You don't have to tell him how you are. I heard him say to Jeremiah, before you were born, I saw you. Before you were even conceived in your mama's womb, I was there and anointed you. I consecrated you and made you a priest. And you weren't even nothing at that time. Before you were conceived, before your mama and your daddy got together, I already had anointed you and ordained you a priest and a prophet. Look at what's in your hands. You already had all this stuff and you were here. Don't tell me you can't speak. I already know who you are, who made you. Don't tell me you can't speak. Because if I can make a doogie talk, I can show make you talk. Look at what's in your hand. God gave you your word, the word, in the right hand. And the shield, which is faith, in the left hand. Use the word. Use the seal. And God will make it work out for you. And so he said, Moses, Moses, what's in your hand? Central Heights, Central Heights, Central Heights, and fellow worshipers, what's in your hand? Hold your hands out. Look at your hands. See everything that God has put in your hand. He put power over the devil in your hand. He put power over sickness and disease in your hands. Because he's taking a touch and anointing, and the disease will go. God put power to speak in your hands. Power of the tongue, the life and death is in your hands. You can speak life in you, and God will deliver. He will bring you out. He will give you joy in your time of sorrow. He will give you peace. What's in your hand? Moses, they said, it ain't but a stick. I ain't got no bridle stick that I've been herding the sheep with. What's in your hand? I ain't got no money. I don't even have a brown penny to my name. But the Lord said, cast out what's in your hand. What's in your hand, people? I got 5,000 people sitting out there. They've been with me for 3 days. And they're hungry. I can't send them on the way because they may faint before they get to where they're going. What's in their hand? We ain't got nothing but 2 fish. 5 pile of loaves. What's in your hand? Set the people down. And come to the 50. And we're going to feed them. We're going to have a picnic, y'all. Out here on this Baptist side. We're going to have a picnic. Well, I didn't bring my basket with the bread in it. I didn't bring my basket with the carrot cake in it. I didn't bring my basket with some chicken. We didn't bring a basket with some barbecue. We got about 2 fish. 5 body loaves. What was that meant among so many people? Give me what's in your hand. I that wing of duck that was had this stuff. That was a kid. A little lad that we got to get it from him first. I got to go to the fish market. Well, did the Lord tell you, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. We ain't looking for food for our stomach. We need souls for the kingdom. Yeah. You got the ability to fish without going to the ocean, without going to the river, without going to the noose out there. You got the ability to fish every day. And even so now, with these things here, smartphones, tablets, you can fish laying in your bed. You can fish. Call somebody up. Win some souls of Christ. Don't call up to talk about nobody. But talk about the goodness of the Lord. Call them up. And go to fishing. Jesus said, get the fish. Get the bread. Before you do anything else with it, bring it to me. If you don't have it, he's going to show you where it is. It's in this word. And he got the fish, got the bread, prayed, and cast it out for him. Take it now and deliver it to the people. When you put it in the master's hand, it becomes much. Little becomes much. When you put your problems in the master's hand, see, then your hands now. What's in your hand? I got heartaches. I got this words that disturbs me. I got broken promises. Because, see, we are holding the wrong thing. What's in your hand? I got hatred that it shouldn't be there. What's in your hand? I got somebody lying on me where it shouldn't be there. You got to get your hands straightened out. If you walk around day by day marrying somebody, can't sit with horses with them and whatever else you want, can't sit with them, you got to realize that it's in my hand and I don't need to be carrying this heavy load. Get rid of that heavy load. And I've done run out of my time, I believe. But the thing is, it's in your hand. What's there? Know what's in your hand. Don't say, Sister Eldridge Green, it's keeping me from doing dust and dust. She keep you from doing the thing. It's you. It's in your hand. You got to get rid of it. Well, I could praise the Lord today because so-and-so was there. Yeah. You couldn't praise them not because so-and-so was there, because you were there. And you came with the wrong attitude. You came with the wrong thing on your mind. You came to, should have come to, praise the Lord. When you started praising the Lord, you should have started praising him from the door to your pew. And all the way out of that door when you go back out. To praise him, because enter to his court, his gates with thanksgiving. When you came on the campus, you should have been giving God thanks. But by the time you got to the door, you were ready to give him a praise. Because you're in the house of worship. You're in the house of deliverance. See, in your hand you got good and you got bad. Cast the bad away. And in this case now, it's not your physical hands we're talking about. It's in your heart, in your mind. That's the word, your hands. Moses threw the rod down because the Lord told him to throw it down. It came a serpent. Then they'll dried up dead stick. Now live, venomous snake. Because the word said Moses ran from it. God put the word to us and we run from it. Our deliverance was there in our hand. We throwed it down and ran. God said, in order to be delivered, you got to go through this and go through that. No, no, no. I'm going to run away from that. I ain't going through that mess. God don't want me taking this all the time. God don't want me being there by the doormat. Well, look, oh, you made him to be. Spit on him. Whip them through the night. Cut him up with the lashes. 39 stripes he took for us. Something that he didn't do. Hadn't done no wrong. It was in his hand that he gave up his life. They thought they were taking it, but he was giving it up. He was giving it up so you and I can get up. Okay? Get up out of this slum and this mire clay. Get up out of this thing that keeps you slipping and falling right back where you came from. Then you thought you'd grow an inch in the Lord, and now you've lost a whole foot. Get up out of that mess and move on in the Lord. I gotta quit. It's too late. Y'all won't want to come back no more. But you got to know that it's in the Word. And I'm just crying and said, let you see how we miss out a whole lot that's in our hand. You'll try to get some more in your hand, but you can't get it in there because you got too much junk in your hand. Get rid of the junk out of your hands and you can hold more of God's blessings. See, we're not getting no more blessing that we can see because we got too much junk blocking us from getting in. Our storehouse is packed with junk. And all the good stuff we got laying out around the barn. Under the yard with a little canvas over it. That's where we got all the blessings there. And all the junk we got in the big barn we done bought. Y'all, I'm quitting, just like it is. I'ma leave it undone so you can get rid of your junk and let the blessing of the Lord take over the house. That's it.
We thank God for the word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? That ought to be something as we go out. Remember what's in your hand. And we have the what? Power. Amen. We have the power. So we thank God for using Pastor Burnett to give us that word on today. So now we have more strength and more power, no matter what it is. So at this time, is there anyone that would like to come for salvation? Anyone that would like to come for prayer? You can come at this time. God is here. God is here waiting on you. Anyone want to have prayer, you can come. If you would like to join the church, you may come at this time.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through. Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too.
Your grace and mercy brought me through. Thank you for saving a sinner like me. To tell the world that salvation is free. I was blind, but now thank God I see. Your grace and mercy came along and rescued me. Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through. Justice demanded that I should die. Grace and mercy said, oh no, oh no, oh no, I've already paid the price. I was blind, but thank God I see. Grace and mercy came along and rescued me. Your grace, thank you, Lord, brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. And praise you. Your grace, and mercy, brought me through.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Remember, know what's in your hand.
Amen.
And all that you don't need in there, do like Moses did. Cast it down.
My Lord.
Cast down your doubt and pick up faith.
Amen.
Okay? Bless you, know your deliverance. Cast down your sin and pick up eternal life. Because the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. And I was a sinner, I wouldn't leave this place today. Too many people dying. I wouldn't leave here today and not be saved, taking a chance on it. Going and coming back another time. Take him with you today. You don't lose everything. You gain eternal life. And you got more to gain than you got to lose.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you, Lord.
And it ain't no long, hard, drawn out process. All you got to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yes.
Believe that he died for your sin. Yes. Rose the third day.
Yes.
Sit on the right hand side, was dead and buried. Mm-hmm. Got up on that third day and sits on the right hand side of his Father. Oh, waiting for you to say, Father, forgive me. For I've been a sinner.
Yes.
Come in my life and save me from our sin.
Hallelujah.
And if you can believe that in your heart,
yes.
Confess it to somebody. You are saved. That's all it is. It ain't nothing you feel. Feelings of emotion to make it go up and down and here and there and everywhere. Yeah. See, the people's emotions be ever all over the building. All right, but it's what you believe.
Yeah.
And you, what are you believing? You believe in what the word says. If I confess it,
yes,
God forgives it. And then that means you're saved.
Amen.
And it don't mean you're going to be perfect. You may go out the same day and did what you did last night. You ask God to forgive you because you're a baby. You got to grow. And you grow in grace as you know better than you do better. Okay? But you have Jesus to help you to do it. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You got Jesus to help you keep it from being troubled. But and the way you do it is to cast all every one of your cares, cast it to the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And let him handle it. That means once you cast it to him, you don't bother with it no more. You don't even talk about it.
Amen.
Not in a negative way. You just may say something that he has delivered you from. That's the only way you talk, the only way you talk about it. But you don't take it, because when you take it up and start worrying it again, that means you took it out of his hand.
Thank you.
And when you take it out of his hand, he let you have it.
Amen.
But keep it. Stand fast in it. And things will come through. So do what you will, and God will deliver. Is there another? That's fantastic. Let everybody say, hey. May the grace of God, speak to the Holy Spirit, bless with us, abide with us, rule us, and keep us in perfect peace. Shall we meet again? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let the church say, let the church say,
amen.
Let the church say, amen.